up, everybody? This is Spitballin' episode number 3 and 4 in one. So, this is a redo and a new one. We have Mfo.
The very famous
Mfo. And we have the very famous DXP.
Yes.
And this is DXP's do-over because I fucked up and didn't record the audio.
There were some good questions there, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was a good interview.
If I remember the
humans, humans. Humans. Fucking humans.
And it was total human error this time, so. But to start off this episode, we're going to start with Mfo. So let's learn a little bit about you.
Yep.
Tell my viewers and listeners, because this is going to be on iTunes.
Tell about me?
Yeah, let's learn about
me. Learn about me. I was born of 2 South African parents.
That escaped apartheid, by the way.
That escaped apartheid, riddled South Africa to come to Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada in 1979. My mother is from Alexandra Township, Johannesburg. Don't know exactly where my father's from, in Durban, South Africa, but that is where he's from. What else is good? I've always wanted to be an actor. Always wanted to be one. And hopefully that works out soon.
Oh, no. That's not technically. You got credits behind you, though.
Hopefully that works out. I did 1 or 2 things, and Volley Skies is something that we're doing now. And that has kind of really opened up a lot of stuff. That actually,
I'm surprised Junebug didn't open up a lot more doors.
The Junebug stuff, that's like big, a community more so, it feels like sometimes, like one specific community that always hails me up for that. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By far, the one thing I get hit up for the most is that. By far.
Yeah.
But what gets annoying with that is, you know, you have brothers that come up to me and everybody just talks about me shooting the cop. Like, I'm talking about, everybody comes up to me. Yo, doing what? Are you that? Are you that shooter? Are you shooting the motherfucker? So it's always like that, you know? It gets like a bit old. Just black guys come up to me and ask me about that, so it also worries me about my community. message.
Wow.
But you know what? It's a double-edged sword because Jim Sheridan, someone who's like the complete opposite of urban anything.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, he's not known for urban anything. It's Daniel Day-Lewis films. You know, he got Daniel Day-Lewis an Oscar. You know, My Left Foot, directing that. He directed, as far as I know, In the Name of the Father, I think.
Yeah, I think so, dude.
In 92 or something like that, 93 or something like that, Daniel Day-Lewis. So they have an interesting relationship. And he's, in America as well, he was nominated as a director, you know, Academy Award for that. So that's big to me. That resonates with me. As much as 50 and this and rap, G-Unit and rap and all that hype stuff at the time, Jim Sheridan was big for me. Auditioning for him and him liking me and him respecting me.
What was that like?
It was big. I remember I did an audition for him, and you know, he's short, you know, Irishman, you know, about 60 something at the time. You know, he's no bullshit though. You know, filming took like longer and it's this much over budget because, you know, there was no real structure to the way he would film. So I auditioned for him and did a couple callbacks and came in this one time and he's sitting there and he's like, "Is that Mfo here? He's like, you're a good fucking actor. He's like, you're a good fucking actor." He said, "I'm gonna give you a fucking part. I just don't know which fucking one." He's sitting just like that and I'm like, but he said it just like that, and that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, the things that kind of stick with me. You know, a director of that caliber, who's directed an actor of the caliber of Daniel Day-Lewis multiple times. Yeah. Not even just him.
Yeah.
You know, Samantha Morton is in America. That's an actress I respect very much. These are like serious actors.
Yeah.
Here. Like thespians. Like they don't play method actors. You know, you can't even talk to these type of people.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but they're very good at what they do. You know, and they set a standard, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
So
like Daniel Day-Lewis, isn't he?
You know what I mean?
And Abraham Lincoln.
Let me tell you something. Watch him get an Oscar for that.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, because, look, all he does is know how to prepare for things. It's just he knows how to accurately depict whatever it is that he's doing. That's what he's very good at.
Yeah. There Will Be Blood is...
If you're an actor, and if you can accurately depict, if it matters enough, you know, some people are paid very well, and they don't try hard enough. A lot of people are paid very well and don't try hard enough. Not some people, a lot of actors.
A lot of people are starting to get lazy now.
It's
they got
a
money.
Crap load of lazy actors in Hollywood. And it's not even just lazy because of the craft of the art. It's something that really challenged them.
You know, what they need.
And Daniel always does something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of actors don't do that. And a lot of them have the studios on their backs. You know, and if you see them a lot, it's because they participate in what the studio asks them to do. If you see them regularly, you look at a Daniel Day-Lewis, you don't see him regularly. It's because he don't fuck with the studio. No, I'm serious. I'm not playing right now. It's because he doesn't cater to them. He's not on the phone with Weinstein all the time. Yo, what the fuck? What's up, guys? What's up? No, no. None of that bullshit. It's very much about the art with him. And it's very much about, okay, this matters and this doesn't.
Yeah.
There's only two mainstream actors that can tiptoe being a movie star and still be respected actors at the same time.
Oh,
Johnny Depp is really the guy, and then whoever you want to talk about after.
But then he's starting to slip now, too.
No, no, not Johnny. No,
no.
The choices of films have never been arguably great.
No, yeah, okay. That's
but I'm talking about the actor,
the
ability,
the
performances.
Yeah.
He takes stuff that I question, and you're like, whoa, okay, that's what it would look like if you were going to do it properly.
Yeah, yeah. Like Alice.
Do you understand? Not what I would love to see necessarily.
No, no, yeah.
But he really knows how to take nothing and make like a whole lot of something. You know, and to me he sets a standard. The risk taking, the choices. Not many actors dare choose the amount of roles, choose the amount of, you know, the variety of roles that he does. Not many do that.
I think Fear and Loathing was his
Scissorhands, Benny and June. There's an area in the 90s there.
That's a good one.
But there's an area there in the 90s where he did a lot of, you know, really cool films. The films were good. No, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the films were good. From Scissorhands to maybe Brasco.
Yeah,
was like consistent.
One of my favorite
from Scissorhands to like Brasco, I think was consistent, and then maybe it tailed off a bit there. And then Blow, he came back with Blow.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? And then,
I just
got
my girl to watch that for the first time
you
last
like?
Month. She loved it.
It's a great
film.
How can you not?
I really don't like Penelope Cruz in that thing.
No, she hasn't done it.
I really want to slap her.
What do you think about Savages?
So annoying.
How she's going to play in Savages.
You know what? No disrespect to Taylor Kitsch, but I don't know if that guy should be getting all the opportunities that he's getting. You understand? I don't know. No disrespect to the kid. But I don't know if he's fit to handle, you know, carrying films. That's tough. You know, it's really tough. It's very, very tough to carry films. And then you got to go and you got to work out for 6 months, and then you got to go and then this, and then press junkets for 3 months, and then, you know, it gets very rigorous. And then you got to show up at all these, you know, appearances, and then you got to be a good actor. And then you got to deliver in the film. I just don't know if the ability matches the output of the effort level, maybe. Because I tell you what, if he wasn't trying, he wouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if you didn't try hard, you're not being there. So I know that. But the ability may not match up with that. So just explaining to you how it kind of works sometimes. You know how it works. I just don't... That's just... I question maybe him, you know. If you just look at the opportunities that he's getting, just in a row.
Yeah.
And it's all set up, so you know. It's all set up. okay, how can we push this kid? It's not the fans want Taylor Kitsch to pop. Are you serious?
No.
Never, ever in life. If the industry is like, okay, we need a new young guy. Who's the guy? Taylor Kitsch coming off this show. He's popular on the show. Okay, let's make him pop. All right, boom, John Carter. All right, bombed.
Yeah.
You put a nobody in a $200 million movie expecting to make $200 million?
No.
Come on, stop this. The guy at Disney had to resign because of that F up. You understand? But you're putting that on Taylor Kitsch.
Ooh.
You shouldn't even have given him the opportunity in the first place.
He shouldn't have been in that movie.
I would have you throw Colin Farrell in that movie, I'm cool with that. My point is the same type of look or a look, but you need a better actor. You just need a better actor in that spot.
Just like a little better.
A bigger name and a better actor.
And technically, it didn't even have to be an action star or anything like that.
But this is what I'm saying. And then John Carter, and I'm going to watch that when I get home, actually, with my big old mouth, because I've had it on my computer, and I really want to see it. What else? And then this Battleship thing. I don't know if they marketed that properly.
They should have marketed it more around Rihanna, because then they would have got
see.
Rihanna
I didn't even know.
Fans. She. Nobody
this
even knew she was in the movie.
This world is coming right now. I'm not. I was just talking the other day about people I've lost roles to, right? You're gonna lose 75 to 80% of the stuff you've ever read for.
Really?
So this is in 14 years, 15 years now. I could probably say 70. I'd say I'm a 30%, success rate. I think I'm like Tiger. I'm like Tiger Woods. Tiger, like 30% win ratio, 73 wins, like 30%, But honestly, I thought about it the other day. Last maybe 4 or 5 years, Brandon T. Jackson, 3 films. So the Big Mama, 3. Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and then Tropic Thunder, right? All Brandon T. Jackson.
Yeah.
And salute Brandon T. Jackson.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Brandon T. Jackson. You understand what I'm saying?
Just to
really put it down to what I'm saying. Nobody disrespecting anybody. I really salute, especially a brother out there doing it. So, and then who else? Who else? Neo. That's the one I kind of laugh about a little bit.
Neo was Los Angeles,
and then Red Tails.
Yeah, that was the new one that just came out.
I was laughing about that one for a little bit. I was just laughing.
Did he even do anything?
You know what? Who am I to judge that?
Yeah, well,
who am I to judge that? I'm just talking about, you won't see me taking records from him. Did I not explain that right?
Yeah.
Did I not explain that right?
I got it.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Forget all that. who's the other one? Who's the other one? I can't even remember. It's one that I actually want to speak on. Cosmopolis, I read for it, and Jay Baruchel got the part that I read for it. I was actually really honored to have kind of been in the mix with Jay. I was very honored to have been in the mix with him. Got like a few callbacks for that. And at the end of the day, I didn't really see, there wasn't any too many difficulties in understanding why he probably would have got it. You understand? But I thought it was cool that two very different looks, two very different, could have even be considered equally.
Equally.
And that's what I liked about it.
Much respect to him
as well, because, and he reps Canada very well, and he reps the country very well, and he attends ACTRA conferences, and he's on the council, and he shows up, and he's there, he supports it, it's the same kid, you can talk to him, salute that guy, so that's one that I actually really liked. I like just being in the mix for that. That was cool.
It's too bad you didn't get it, because I was working on Alphas.
Yeah.
Same time, Cosmopolis was shooting next door.
That's a very interesting story line. Very different, but that's something I definitely would have liked to have done.
Yeah.
Just how different it is. I always get lucky to be part of very, out of the box type stories and films and stuff and get lucky like that in the roles.
Well, you don't want to be thrown into like a stereotype or get just labeled, well,
no.
This is the type of acting this guy does, so these are the only type of movies he's going to have applied for. Then you'll end up like Jim Carrey, where you want to do a serious role 10-20 years down the road.
I hear you.
Completely.
I hear you.
Fuck up.
But
completely.
Darn it, that's some fun career times.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus
he had
Lord.
Great, but now
just imagine showing up for work.
Jim Carrey's unbelievable.
Just imagine showing up for work. Just imagine showing up for work, Ace Ventura, liar,
oh,
that guy.
All those movies.
Wow.
But then try showing up to the set of Mr. Popper's Penguins, and you're going to be like, what the fuck just happened? Where
still
don't
see that Yes Man movie.
You know what? That was okay. I gave that maybe like a 5 out of 10. It makes you laugh
that good,
and
huh?
chuckle, but it wasn't up there. But I think the last movie that he did where I was really like taken back by Jim Carrey is the one with the whole dream. Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
The dream.
Where he's trying to go back.
Number 23?
No. That's where he writes the book, and he's like a schizo.
His wife like set him up in that
spotlight.
Spotless Minds.
Yes. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. And that blew me away.
It's a serious movie.
I was just like, wow.
Kate Winslet.
Jim
I like a
Carrey
big crush on Kate
act
Winslet.
His ass off.
I watched a bunch of her stuff, but I watched Contagion the other day.
And that was.
I really liked what was going on in that.
Yeah, it's a good story.
I really liked what was going on.
I'm gonna start watching more movies. I'm gonna stop working on them.
the brunette that came up with the cure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I really dig
spoiler
her.
Alert,
I really think she's a
alert,
really, really, really good actress. No, that's
movie
been
over
been
three
out.
Years.
Deal with it. Yeah, you'll be alright.
Yeah.
Watch a thing, you know.
All right. Yeah.
But no, Jude Law really stuck out to me in that movie. Really good. He's really
well,
solid.
There's a lot of big names in
a
that
lot
movie.
Of big names.
Like Matt Damon and Matt Damon
too. Sanaa in a more supporting, more actor supporting, lesser role, but she's still, you know, Sanaa Lathan. Still very visible in that. Fishburne.
He is by
Fish.
Far.
Fish was good in that. He did the sleazeball well in that.
Yeah.
You know, very well. Yeah, it's just
a
word.
One of my
work.
Favorite, like, African American actors.
Yeah.
The Matrix came out, and Morpheus, dude, I was just like,
he has like that James Earl kind of
the voice, yeah, the
know,
James Earl Jones voice.
I was starstruck when I saw him. I saw him on The Colony.
Really?
Not here, and I saw him. And
I
was just I
would love to meet Lawrence.
I don't get starstruck too much, but
I saw him.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
But it's funny, actors for me. Now it's I have the utmost respect for so many black actors. It's just
because it's tough.
Well, it's very
it?
Tough, and I really look at the industry very differently now from a perspective of, you know, it's look, I was raised very well, you know, Canada, fortunately. You know, the multicultural nature of the country.
Especially
this
city.
You know what I mean? Especially
this
city.
Yeah.
I have such a profound respect for all races outside of my own, you know, but a great patriotism towards my own people.
Well, that's what
you know what I mean?
Canada. Like, I'm Sicilian and Irish, and when World Cup time comes around, I have never been more patriotic.
That's Canada. Most people who are Canadian wouldn't know about that.
Oh, no.
I'll give a damn on World Cup. Unless you're European. I don't care if in the States they still don't really know.
Yeah, no.
You're European, Canadian, South American, you get it.
You
get the World Cup thing. It makes it. You resonate.
But
you get
America,
local.
That's
you get local.
Why they tried to come out with the MLS for America, and they're trying to make it big. But I just don't
Beckham,
think.
Beckham, 50 million a season.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jesus, Lord. But, you know what? He seemed like a real nice guy, though.
He seems like a nice guy.
His teammates like him.
He barely played.
barely played. $50 million. It's a joke. And then what did they do? They sold him to whoever borrowed him. AC Milan borrowed him.
No, well, that's what he was actually doing. Wow. He was spotlighting on the side while he was playing for LA Galaxy with Real Madrid.
Spotlighted. So,
that he was
when women do that, they're called hoes.
Yeah.
It's a great world we live in. Beckham does for $50 million. He's a motherfucking star. He's a brand, eh? He's a brand.
But then he ended up injuring himself over there. He injured himself on the playing for Real Madrid, and then he tried to play for LA Galaxy, and he was shit.
And then
that's
what
happened.
Didn't they win?
Yeah, but they won because of the rest of the players, not because of him.
Well, I tell you what, it looked real good for him on the team, and that $50 million gets covered. I tell you what, that shit gets covered on the back end. You won the championship. Shit.
You want to see a crazy soccer game for the MLS? Go to a Toronto FC game.
An FC game, I heard, man. I heard that's just a beer fest. I heard it's just like beer party number one. Just drinking.
The fans are so crazy that when you actually watch the game on TV. The camera is shaking from the people on the stands. That's how hyped the people get for the team. I don't watch MLS that often, but if the game's on, I'll scan through. I'll watch it for a bit. But then you get nauseous from the shaking from the stand just going, stomping with their feet.
I'm an admitted Argo watcher.
Oh, no, I love the Argos.
I'm happy with Ray, having Ray out here, Ricky Ray. That's big.
Oh, my mom's ex used to play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Y'all know Gene Mack? You know Gene Mack is? He was on Off the Record, real loud.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Mack's obviously he's an actor now, but he used to play for the Argos. And he just so happens to be a very good friend of mine who I grew up with, dad, Cale Richardson.
Oh, nice.
So it's just had this, like, ridiculous amount of degrees of separation with this guy. It's very crazy. Obviously, like, his son and I grew up, and then, you know, we've done like four films together. Mm-hmm. And he played my father in an episode of Doc, a show with Billy Ray Cyrus that they did in Toronto. I know that. So that was trippy, him playing my dad. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And then obviously he played for the Argos, and then I know like Mike O'Shea and all this stuff, and I love Argos. So that's just trippy. Having all these connections to this guy, and I'm loud just like him. So we're like so connected, it's just hilarious. Gee, but he's like the worst dad in the world. Worst dad ever. Yeah, I said it.
How much did you end up even getting into acting?
It's a weird story. I had these friends of the family that are in the industry, people we used to go have dinner with, you know, like once a week, like every Sunday or whatever. Their children were doing commercials, their daughter and their son, and their mother was on ENG at the time. This is, I think she was on there probably the whole run. So my mom would always ask her, you know, to hook me up with an agent, you know, hook me up with acting classes, whatever. And, you know, they kind of would never oblige, you know. I'm not going to say it was negatively saying no, but they wouldn't do it. So, you know, there's like years pass, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 years pass. And I ended up getting the same agent as their mother.
Yeah.
By myself. Not really by myself. I was with the Big Brothers, actually, a few years after that. And the lady that ran the Big Brothers was very close to my mother. And knew that I wanted to kind of get in the game. So basically she got me into this after 4 kind of acting class situation at the Avenue Road Art School, Spadina and Avenue Road. And I was taking a class with this guy named David Eisner, very legendary Canadian actor in my opinion. Before I know it, I was helping Dave, you know, teach the improv sections of the class. Before I knew it, it was weird, I was 14 doing this. It was just fun. It was kind of just after school passing time type of thing. But I always wanted to do it. And then one day we go to meet this agent, this guy Larry Goldhar with the characters. And I don't know any better.
I just think we're gonna go meet agent. You know, I'll meet a guy possibly could work or whatever. So we go and meet the guy, and then, you know, he tells me how he usually auditions people, and he's not gonna audition me. He still had no idea what that meant at the time. And then years later, I totally, you know, 15 years later now, with the same agent. And it's the same agent as the mother of the friends of the family who I used to go and ask to hook me up, but they never would. That's kind of how life goes.
Let's be really fair right now.
Not to talk bad about these people. You know, it's one of those things. You could be upset. You could be whatever. Look at me now.
Or it could drive
whatever.
You.
You know, it could drive you whatever. But it's funny. I had a film that premiered at the Real World Film Festival back in April, and both the mother and the father showed up to the screening.
Wow.
I didn't ask them to come. They showed up. So I tell you what, I thought that was class.
Oh, for sure. That show.
I saw you there.
And I gave him a big hug, you know, and I hung out with him afterwards, and we talked, and we had a good time, you know, and I think that was very positive. And I was very happy that I could look at it in that way, and not let very menial emotions get in the way of common sense.
And
you know, just being happy. Exactly. Yeah, and just being happy. Yeah. Just, you know, being happy. The right things. That was right. Yeah. You know, that's just salting up a good thing. To you know what I mean? So I thought that was a very good moment. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Full circle. It's kind of like a full circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you two go about meeting?
This guy, we were doing a short film.
Yeah.
For a friend of mine, Peter Simovic, mm-hmm. He actually finally finished the two short films that we had done at the time. He was in Toronto Film School with you, I think, right? Yeah. You guys were in there. And then you guys connected because of that. And then I came in to do the film. Then we all ended up doing the movie. Driz was there too, mm-hmm. Big party. The film was fun. We had fun those couple of days,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Peter's a great, very great.
Yeah.
I just want, I want to see the movie though.
Sir.
I want to see the movie.
You
though.
Know what?
I
saw the two of them.
I gotta talk to Peter about that. But yeah, I want to see.
He submitted him to TIFF.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, you never know.
It's
gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough to get it, but I mean, they are short films, so you're not going up against any super feature or anybody. Yeah. You know, so. That could lessen, you know, the difficulties.
But look at the story that we've got in it.
I mean, you know, it's...
You got influence.
Cameron Bailey and all them guys look at the quality of the project. Hopefully that does it.
Yeah, it was shot on 16, like that gives you an idea
how
long it was.
Yeah, you know, it came out fine though, pal. It came out fine, and hopefully you can see it soon. It really looks okay. It really does. The quality of the film doesn't look grainy.
No. I'm just saying like how things are progressing. Now nothing's shot on film anymore.
I miss film. Yeah.
Everything is digital now.
Yeah.
You know.
I miss film.
There's no, and like as the film went before, it was always literally shot on film. Like 16, and now it's all digital.
Yeah.
And like, how does that? You know, I know how it affects on the production side of things. How does that affect you as an actor? To know that. I'm going to be looking like this. Like, I'm in HD right now, and they're not going to stop.
The HD thing, I think in the Hollywood, it matters to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it does.
I've seen some dirty, grimy interviews on CNN, and, like, sort of this dude has, like, a big nose, and you can see his open pores and shit, and you're just like... Do I need to see that?
I'm telling you.
Is there a reason
for it? See, but that's somebody that probably doesn't really care as much. You know, you're looking at actors, you're looking at actresses. You know, these are people that, you know, they portray not really caring about those things, image, and maybe, being very kind of regular and average and all these things. But these are people that in the makeup truck, you know, so... Yeah, the makeup truck's two different people. On set, it's, you know, you really get to see people, you know.
The real person behind the mask.
This set,
Fall in the Skies is cool because, you know, it's not really people like that. But I've been on sets where, you know, it's Hollywood. That's the nature of the beast. The industry perpetuates that way of thinking. Do you know what I mean? Just look at entertainment, look at fashion, look at magazines. You know, young girls, what they have to look at in magazines and in films. And women have it very difficult in Hollywood, having to maintain a certain look, a certain body type, which isn't even realistic. One, which borders unattractive to me, too, because that's just not real.
Yeah, there's not healthy. A lot of stick figures out there.
You know, it's not healthy. You know, I see a lot of even actresses that I know now. They've become far skinnier than they were. Someone was telling me I'm skinnier than I was. You know,
and it's probably just not noticeable.
I'm eating a lot better. That's what it is. And again, you know, have to concern yourself with what people think. But to just give you exactly what I was being told by someone is what I see in actresses that I know. But they haven't. It's very scrutiny for an actress is at a far higher level. In any man, it's night and day scrutiny. You know, so because women, they have a shelf life almost.
Yeah,
it's almost unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man, you know, they act forever. Yeah. You know, just take care of yourself.
What do you think about this whole James Dean thing dropping porn to do a movie with Lindsay Lohan?
Who's that?
James Dean, the porn star. He's a male porn star.
I didn't even hear about all of that. I didn't even hear about it.
He's doing
a real film with Lindsay.
Yeah, he's doing a real.
Is he
film.
A good actor?
Because no,
let's just speak on how porn is like the most atrocious acting ever in the history of. I swear, like, I swear, your ten year old's elementary play has higher caliber of thespians. Than any porn ever did.
Wasn't
so,
that why you watch porn?
I don't even. But just to speak on a porn actor coming in acting.
Right.
So I don't know if it's really his place to be doing that. He should stick to what he's good at.
Like, that's a question that I would so love to ask Ryan Keeley.
To me, it's not like
she is amazing.
She's
so cool.
That girl's sitting with her leg up the whole time we were doing the thing.
Oh no.
Virgin. Vagine and shit, keep like pulling down like her dress and shit. And I just like looked at Peter and it's just like, that guy. She's really cool, though. She's very cool.
Red Band's
not
the obvious job.
She's very cool, like Ryan Keeley, like enough respect to Ryan Keeley for sure. Very, very nice. She bought me like red velvet cake for my birthday. I thought
that's
that was
her favorite.
Really cool.
like
cream puffy thingies that I didn't eat those right to red velvet cake.
Nice.
Shout
out
to Ryan Keeley. I would like to have sex with her too.
Maybe another time. You hear that? There's an outstanding offer.
She didn't say let's hang out. So.
Let's
hang out.
So. I think Redman's got the luckiest job.
Redman is honestly. Cool shit as well, because you know, he came in, he made it real comfortable. You know, we smoked something real quick.
Yeah,
that was very cool. It was just comfortable, man. It was just very, very like relaxed atmosphere, very friendly atmosphere. Ryan is just cool as shit. Red Band and I were just cracking. You were the show, man.
That was one of my favorite interviews ever. And then that's how I. That's what introduced me to you, and then I hit you up on Twitter, and I was just like, "Well,
it's a small world, man."
What are the odds?
Well, I mean, it's not even just the odds, you know, the small world and all that. I don't know if the average active person I know would have even facilitated this. Joshua, you know, so.
I think that's why I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule
to do this
for us.
Well, I mean, more than
you're my biggest interview today.
It's a huge stuff. I'm honored to be in. You know.
Brother, I very much interview. Just appreciate just really the love, really. You know, because I just know, I for a young person, I've acted a few years for a young person.
Yeah.
So I kind of know what it's like to not, you know, be popping or to not whatever. I know that very well, actually. So I don't even really, you know, base whatever's happening as whatever everybody says it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, this is.
I just kind of just go along with it. You know, just respectfully, you know, thank people for whatever they say positive. And I'm learning to really even denounce reacting to the negative stuff. Because
that's
I get too fired up sometimes.
That's me.
And even just letting that go and treating that as a positive is something that I'm learning to do more.
Yeah, it's something that nowadays in life there's too many people that can piss you off to let
them piss you off.
And so
I just think you gotta put your energy into other things.
Into something positive.
That's why I started this podcast. You know how it is. You guys know how it is.
Yeah.
No, Josh, you hustle, man. You work, you know, two fields. You know.
Yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah, of course. For those of you who don't know, Josh, a.k.a. DXP, does rap and acting. And this interview's mostly been about acting so far.
Josh worked on first season, Fall of Skies.
Oh, really?
Shot in Toronto.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's one of the ways that we reconnected again. I always see him
randomly.
But that's the industry, though. Like you know, music, television, all that. It's all kind of.
It's fun. It's
I like
Toronto, the dynamic in regards to that. Yeah. Talk to what you've been doing, man.
Yeah. Your turn.
Well, recently I just got off a show called Paranormal Witness. Shot the second season for that.
I heard that's pretty good.
It's done really well. I think they've even gotten picked up for another season next year.
Awesome. Who's in there?
Well, it's actually a docudrama, so it's like reenactments of like real people's lives seeing paranormal activity.
That's
right?
My shit. That's my kind of shit.
it was a crazy shoot. It was intense. But I met some really good people and worked with some really good people, some old friends as well. You know,
nice.
So it was good. I've kind of just been going from show to show recently, and I'm actually right now I'm happy to kind of be done that show because now I can just kind of focus on music.
Yeah.
Which is really what I want to do is just do music every day. Like I try and get in the studio at least once a week, basically, I kind of have a routine going now where I come in and G Vine or CC will give me a beat.
Yeah.
And I'll go, okay, that's the beat. And I'll go, and it'll take me about a week and I'll write to it. And I'll come in the following 7 days later and I'll record. And then they'll give me the next beat and I'll go write and then record. Come back and just keep doing that as much as I can, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, but I just want to keep just coming in here and just keep making music. I'm so happy when I'm in this place, when I'm in this studio. Shout out to PHS.
Yeah, shout out to PHS,
yeah.
G-Vine, CC,
Shocks
as
well.
Shocks
was in today earlier. Yeah, he was killing it today earlier.
Well, I miss Bishop and I are close, man. I know Bishop.
Oh, okay, yeah, your friends are good.
Bishop,
okay.
So him and Shocks are very close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
Shocks a legend.
When I got first introduced to the studio, it's like, do you know Shock Lair? I'm like, of course I know Shock Lair. Are you kidding me? It's like my hero.
I feel like Shock Lair, you know those Facebook, you know those hits. You know, if you don't know who this is, but know who this is, you know those?
Yeah.
I feel like Shocks is one of the, if you don't know who this is in Canada now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's become that.
Yeah. Oh, well,
you know. Does that make good sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
He's a pioneer.
I think he's become that.
Of Canadian hip hop.
Straw as well. It's a crazy little story about Straw, actually. I don't know. It's crazy. Most people have like rap connections to Straw. I have like an acting connection to Straw. Mm-hmm. We were nominated same category for Gemini 2009.
Really?
And that in itself says a lot.
Yeah.
It's very cool, in my opinion. So we got to the show and, you know, just basically I saw him and I beelined to him and went up and we slapped hands and we kind of knew what I was saying. And I just you know, saluted him, you know, for the honor that we were bestowed, and we kind of just like, let's just savor this, you know, let's just savor this, let's just
let's just enjoy this, you know, salute to you, congrats to you. He kind of reciprocated, and that was a cool moment, I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I was fortunate to win, and then it was not too long ago, he hit me up on Twitter. It was the funniest thing ever. What did he say? He goes, yeah, dude, hope all is well. He goes, but if you ever get nominated for a Gemini, man, it's like fall in traffic. I laughed so hard. Like, I laughed so hard. So he's a good sport. He's a good sport. Yeah. We were able to have that laugh about it. But I just thought that was a very cool connection to have with someone who pretty much started whatever we know of as rap in Canada.
You know,
shout out to Maestro.
I actually have the connection him also. My mom's ex used to work with him at Wimpy's Diner when he used to flip.
Wimpy's?
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wimpy's?
Yeah. That's way that's like,
whoa.
Wimpy's is still open.
I've been hearing like names of things and meeting people from way back, and I've been like, you know, putting tracks from way back on my iPod. Buying films from way back. I've been on my I wouldn't say retro, I'd say the Renaissance is what I would call it. I'll call it the Renaissance.
The Renaissance.
No bullshit. No bullshit. Because it's really, it's not regurgitating whatever was old, but it's almost feel like we need to get back to it.
Well, I still go to the same place I've been going for like 20 years, and that's in Scarborough on Eglinton, T-Bones. You can get seriously like a 16-ounce steak for less than $15.
Where's somewhere? Do I still go somewhere? For a long time, I'm trying to think. There's a place on Bathurst, just south of DuPont, called Annapurna, or Annapurna. It's this vegetarian restaurant that my mother used to take me to. We used to live right at Bathurst and Davenport. Like pretty much raised there, and my mother used to always take me there. I think I need to go there just to taste the food again, just to get a bit of get that memory jolt, you know, that positive. Just
I don't think I got a place like that.
Probably. Yeah, but that's, I was just trying to think. I don't think I really have one. That's the thing, because I wouldn't say I moved around, but
I lived on the Danforth for most of my life, so I know things a few little spots.
Things change. No matter what.
Some things change. On the Danforth, for some reason, there's like, for instance, there's been Seb's Cafe. That place has been there for 30 years.
Wow.
30 years. And they still have the same people going there every day. The old men wake up, go there, have their espresso, go home,
you know what,
the kids up.
You know what I miss? I miss Churrasco or St. Clair.
St. Clair
Portuguese
what?
Chicken. I used to mess with that a lot. My doctor's office used to be right there, right about Christie.
Yeah.
Christie and St. Clair.
Okay, yeah.
And the Churrasco spot right there, I used to go to a lot. My mother used to always. See, that's the thing. You go to the doctor's office probably whatever, however, maybe, however often.
Yeah.
And you know, you look forward
maybe,
to a treat.
Yeah.
Mom would always hook you up with something. Whenever you'd have something to go to, is whenever my mom would hook me up with something. You always kind of look forward to set dates on the calendar. You get hooked up with stuff.
Yeah.
I was kind of like that. Because you knew you was only going to get it how many times on this shit. So you just start counting them.
I like that.
You're like, all right, only 2 more months. So,
I like
good
that.
Times, bro. Good times.
I even got Columbus Pizza. I used to eat there on days during school. I'd go there for lunch, and it's still there. So they're owned by different people now. But the people who originally own it still work there in the back.
You know what's cool? Like Schwartz's in Montreal, still like same spot it's been. That's like a spot right there. See, I probably have more connection to Schwartz's, going to Schwartz's, you know, Barbie Bar in Montreal than I do any place here. You know what I mean? Speaking of that, I'll try to do the smoke weed thing after. I'm gonna definitely get some brother after this.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And I will participate in smoking something else after this.
I gotta.
chocolate
biscuit for you.
I think I might stay away from the cookie, man. That comatose is driving me. Jay Diggs is my bro. He doesn't smoke, but he messes with the brownies and the cookies.
Yeah.
He always messes with those. He tells me how I mess him up. So, man, I had a cookie a couple times. That's like hash buzz, like super hash, like comatose your body buzz.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Buzz.
So I'll just stick to like smoking the bomb. See, that's fun high right there. Smoking the bone.
Oh yeah.
That shit rattles your brain.
Oh yeah.
That shit rattles your brain. Smoke a bone up. Watch like conspiracy something. Watch like someone. Watch someone like the Anunnaki or something.
Get some Alex Jones.
Not Alex Jones. I'll be honest with you. I don't really fuck with Alex Jones. I tell you what I fuck with. I really. What's my man's name? George. What's his name? George something. Jim Mars is who I like. Jim Mars, Jason Martell, and I mess with people, not necessarily what your background is educationally, not necessarily. It's more so how you deliver the information to me. When you say, I have to like one the way you kind of put it together, not necessarily to hear what I want to hear, but certain people I just don't like the way certain people approach things. Don't like the way certain people approach the delivery of information, especially information that you could argue isn't really justified and you can't really prove.
Yeah,
understand?
Like Mike, what's his name? Mike Fahrenheit 9/11, all those.
More to see, the thing with Moore is more. The thing with Moore is, don't even question what he says. I'm not even saying that. I'm more talking about, I look at this individual who literally symbolizes whatever that country is fighting right now, obesity.
Yeah.
Just look at it. Yeah. You look at him. He's a spitting image of the problems of that country.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. He's maybe projecting a good image, a good message. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I respect that at the end of the day, because within a country that really enslaves its people, at a subconscious level, because the average person doesn't really, average American doesn't realize how enslaved they are and how messed up their country really is, and they really don't care. And it's so bad how messed up the states is. I'm talking all the way to the Federal Reserve, like that type of stuff.
Well, people think the Federal Reserve is part of the government.
It's not. And then they print. It's just a joke. It costs them how much to print the paper to spend on the paper to print. The however many billion
dollar, isn't it?
Right? However much money it costs for the paper, but then they charge the government for the sum of money that they claim that it's worth. You get it? So we're printing 13 billion, but it costs how much to make the paper?
23 billion.
Do you get it?
It's ridiculous.
It's literally the cost of the paper is nothing compared to, it's like maybe it's 100 million for the paper. To print 13 billion.
Yeah.
But they charge the government for 13 billion.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great country.
That, every dollar that the Fed already prints has a dollar debt on it to begin with.
Dude, it's a joke. They shot Lincoln in the back of the head. Right? They shot JF Kennedy. Those are the only two guys those are the two presidents that printed their own money. So diss the Federal Reserve. Lincoln printed the greenback, right?
Mm.
It's money printed for the people, right? It's not owed. You don't owe that money to anybody when you print that. It's the government printing that money through its own Treasury Department.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. That was
after JFK did the same thing. Those two guys got shot in the back. It's such a joke, man. The banks run shit. People who don't know that anymore, I don't want to mess with them. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. I just can't mess with like zombie fools. You don't have to believe in conspiracy. You don't have to believe in anything. Just know how you are being screwed.
At least. At bare minimum.
Know how you are being screwed and you still think your nation is the baddest, coolest nation in the world. This is good.
Yeah,
America. So bad, man. Dude, being in LA, we went to this Italian restaurant, ordered this pasta dish, individual portion, and then they have a gargantuan portion, right? Mm. Individual portion, I ate over 2 days.
So I ate half of the portion there. And then the next day, I ate legitimately a full plate. One portion in Canada would have been half of the individual taking it, and they sold a gargantuan.
Yeah.
We did the same thing. We just got back.
Who are you trying to kill?
It was the same
stuff. Who are you trying to kill?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, no.
I was concerned.
Speaking of killing people, here's a good segue. How was it working on Saw?
Well, crazy segue.
I think Saw is like one of the few times where I get to, you know, maybe geek out a bit, you know, and really be a nerd, because I'm quite a big fan of the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And that's something that I still forget sometimes that I was in that. You know, it's I can't explain it to you other than that. I really kind of go about my life when I'm not on set and I'm not in stuff. So, you know, you kind of sit back and you remember sometimes that, you know, it's, I get to do some pretty righteous stuff. So getting to be in that movie, it's like 5 days on set in that, and that was just nuts. It's like 5 days of being in that machine, and...
Damn.
Which is just up the road from here, actually, where you shot it. Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
That's probably some of the most fun I ever had.
Yeah,
it's
being in
You know, the movie. Average person, you know, I can totally understand how cumbersome it would be to be in that machine. I wouldn't say tedious because you're an actor. You enjoy it. It is cumbersome at times, but it's very much something you forget. It's very much something that I think you lose sight of because of the enjoyment factor of getting to portray something like that. And just knowing what you're a part of. You know, and being close to Tobin. Tobin was very cool, very nice.
Yeah.
Shawnee and I are cool. That's like my homegirl.
Wow.
Angus was a weirdo. Angus was a straight up weirdo. There was a time where we had to do these pickup shots, and they put a prosthetic on the front of my face, which is the back of my head. So it's when my neck was twisting, kind of in the last stages of it, right? So it was a pickup shot. They needed to do that shot to kind of show my head twist and him finally giving in and helping me. Because you remember at first he doesn't want to help me.
Yeah.
So he comes in, and so, you know, we start doing it. And it, out of nowhere, he just like stops and flips. He's just like, what the fuck are we doing? It's no fucking emotion. It's no fucking emotion. And here I am, strapped into this thing, prosthetic on the front of my shit. So there's only two holes and shit, right? So, and this guy's sitting here having a conniption about his own little bitch ass little problems. And I'm in the machine. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
See, and you know the joke? You know the joke is he's a brilliant actor. Angus McFoyden. He's in, you know, you probably know from Equilibrium with Christian Bale. He was like the bad guy in that.
Yeah.
Braveheart, I think he was in as well. Great actor, brilliant actor, but he really bitched, you know, in that moment, and I don't respect that.
Man,
I'm in the machine and the thing and the thing and the thing. So the director, Darren, had to go kind of literally like put his arm around him and give him like this pep talk, like walk. You see him like giving him the pep talk after.
Man, what's wrong? Okay, man, what's wrong? It's okay, man. You're the best, man. You're the best.
You're the best.
One of those talks,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've seen a couple of those over the years now.
Mm. Why? Outside of that, the best experience working on Saw. It's just such a cool experience. It's cool. Like I as a fan, I get to like just kind of sit there and just kind of be like all in awe of it. It's very cool to get the prosthetics put on you, get to be, you know, do all that. And you get to really, I get to portray one of those scenes in a franchise that I love. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's another one of those things that really sticks with me. And then the flashback, it was so cool. They called me up to do a flashback in 6. It's really just brief, but, you know, come in and get a full day's pay to do, you know, a couple hours work, and I got to see everybody again. I got to see Tobin, and Tobin was so kind. You know, it's such kind words for me when I saw him. He thought I did great work in 3, and I thought that was very cool of him, and he's very nice man. Shawnee, big hug when I saw her. Who else, man? Who else?
Is Jigsaw
Mark Berg. Berg was there.
The band person?
No, he's very quiet. Very,
so that's what he seems like.
Very
he's
nice.
Very,
very polite
man.
Very polite man. Very
yeah.
polite man. Very good at what he does.
He's
brilliant.
He's got that creeper look about him.
You know what? You know what? Everybody's so into that, man. He has so much work before the Saw movies.
Yeah, he's
been
people
forget
yeah.
how much stuff he's been
yeah.
in. His Seinfeld, a couple Seinfeld episodes that he did.
Yeah, but
brilliant.
They were even creeper. Like, he was a creeper.
What was he, like, the video store guy
yeah.
or something? Is that what he was?
He was, like, some...
The
no,
video
no,
store
no,
guy?
No,
no.
He
no.
was the clown. I think that
but there's another one. He worked
office.
Somewhere. Where did he work? He was.
It could have been a video star. But
something.
I remember
he
played,
worked
like,
in an office
clown
or something.
Opera.
And he didn't even have white hair when he was Seinfeld episode.
No, no.
He had like brown hair or something. It was trippy, man.
Yeah,
seeing him like that, I was like, wow. And then you see him on set. Well, because he's always in the outfit
oh, yeah.
on set. So that could totally contribute to however you perceive him, you
yeah.
know? Cause and he's always very, you know, kind of quiet and stoic. He's kind of, it's not like he's like, hello. He doesn't really do it like that. You know, it's, if you do, now that I think about it, I'm just like, how are you, Mr. Bill? I'm not scared right now. No, it's not. You know what? It gets really interesting when you see these type of guys. And you see them in so much other stuff outside of whatever you work with them on or whatever you know them for.
Yeah.
But you kind of know them now. So you get to see them. So you totally stop and you watch their work.
Yeah.
You really have a newfound respect for
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
You know
what you're saying. For their work and what
yeah.
they do.
I know exactly
that's
what you're
fucking
saying.
Righteous.
When you meet someone on set and you're like, well, hey, when I meet, I see you on
yeah.
set. And I actually know you in person. I see your work.
See, but that I'm learning more about now. Just objectively, I can kind of look at everything and see all these perspectives of everything now. There's so many perspectives. And it's not one is any greater than the other, but everything is seen very differently. Yeah. And this Hollywood thing that I'm in now, this microscope is getting interesting. It's like this publicist just came at me actually the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, a friend of mine who's an actress, it's his wife. She actually has a much bigger situation going on than I actually would have ever given her credit for. Actually did some
nice.
Research. I looked at the website and everything. She actually has a lot of really up-and-coming actors, talents, like, and they're all doing something. And I was very shocked and pleasantly surprised at the same time. So really kind of opened my eyes. So I really considered it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm all about environment. I'm all about I need a specific type of relationship with a person. You know, if you're going to work closely to me,
yeah.
we can't not be cool. We can't not be close. We can't not be able to rock. We can't not be able to talk and things like that.
Yeah,
especially if you're going to represent
sure.
me.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a good situation
totally.
Because
I
know her
that.
Already. I've met her already hanging out with my boy and I know her for already. So that's already there. You know,
yeah.
not knowing someone can hinder a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
so... Yeah, it could be interesting. I'm very much going to have a publicist very soon. Just don't know when.
Yeah.
It looks like he's pretty much
yeah.
taking care of himself. I don't really fight the balance too much.
I'm kind of in this process right now. Like, I'm releasing an album.
Yeah, is that what I was just going to say? Is there anything big to promote
yeah.
right now?
Well, I'm releasing an album, like my first album coming out of here, out of PHS Entertainment. So I'm really excited about that. I think everyone's going to...
When's the
really,
projected date?
Sometime in August. So in a month, you know.
Perfect.
In a month to release an album
Perfect.
And a new music video that I shot a couple months ago, and we released that in August. So, but it's all about like how, I mean, we were talking about this earlier though, like how do I go from being who I am now to being the next level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, how far do you let talent take you and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how far do you have to get
push.
Up there and really
yes.
push it?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, if people just hear the music and just listen, you know, they'll get it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
no one's, I don't think anyone's going to listen to my music and be like, oh, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand.
No,
what, like,
they'll
what's
get
his
it
point?
For sure.
They're listen to it and go, oh, okay.
It's music.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have a good time. Let's party. Let's enjoy our lives. Like, we work our asses off every day so that we can party, so we can enjoy life.
Oh, yeah.
Life
for
is
sure.
good. You know, the album is called Life is Good. Because I really
love life.
I like that.
I love life. I love living. And I love what I do. And I feel that, like, especially in this studio, I feel that that's just infectious everywhere. Like, everyone's like that.
Oh, yeah.
Love living, love what we do, and just putting those good vibes out. That's what I want the music to do. I want, you know, it's cosmic, out of this world.
That's the whole thing here. It's all cosmic.
Yeah,
even Oli.
Yeah.
Like, Oli is my best friend, and he's
Oli just dropped an album, too.
He just dropped an album on Friday. I was going to try and get you tickets to it, but we weren't syncing up then, because that's when we were like, well, maybe we'll do the show on the 3rd, and then we got pushed back. We ended up, now that we actually got linked up, I'd be more than happy to have you on anytime you want. Anytime you got something to, like, promote, hit me up. Hit him up. We'll throw together a quick little podcast.
Yeah.
And anytime, man. Do you have anything big coming up?
Just, you know, 3rd season, Fall in the Skies got picked up.
Yeah? So. Do you know what state, it's on in Canada?
Canada airs on Super Channel
right now.
Second season should be on Super Channel right now, I think on Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm not sure. I think it's Wednesday.
You know the time slot?
Wednesday, it's like 10, I think it is. I don't know why it's so
Falling late. Skies, Wednesday at 10,
yeah,
Super Channel.
Holla.
Falling Skies.
Yeah, right. That's Jesus Christ, I'm useless. Usually things I know. Usually it's things I know. I want to attribute it to my excessive consumption of marijuana, but
hey, no, don't blame the marijuana, because
honestly, I'm very sharp.
Alright,
we'll Google Falling Skies.
Yeah, for sure. Alright, everybody, that is it for the fourth episode of Spitballing with JT.
Yeah.
We have DXP, we have Umpo, and that is it. Peace out, people. Check it out.